Friend, turn me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And I want to talk to you about a phrase that we find in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. And that is victory in Jesus. You know, there's a song by that name, and you hear a lot of people talking about having victory and that kind, and along those lines. And obviously, when you think about victory, it indicates winning, being in some type of contest. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56, says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now in the context, a couple of weeks ago we talked about the resurrection and the significance of resurrection and how we're going to be one day resurrected. And in the context of the verse, Paul is, that victory he's talking about there is the victory over death, hell, and the grave. He's talking about the fact that back in verse 54, he said, "When this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy grave, death, where is thy sting, O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, the contextual part of the verse there has to do with victory over death, hell, and the grave, being translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, being one day resurrected, raptured, and so forth. But in verse 58, the Apostle Paul there, and also down in chapter 16, gives us somewhat of a formula for not only victory over death, hell, and the grave, but victory while we're still here upon the earth. That is a life that is a life that is victorious in the sense of serving the Lord and doing that which God desires for us to do. You know, as you read Paul's epistles, you see an extreme balance of doctrinal information about who we are and what we have in Christ, but also what God desires of us as members of His body. And sometimes it's easy to get that out of balance and just preach on who we are and what we have and how we're saved. But it's also needful that we understand that God's will for us, He says, it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But why should we come to the knowledge of the truth? Well, Paul said, "Study to show ourselves approved unto God," what? "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed." In other words, that which we know ought to bring about some action in our life. It ought to have an effect upon us. And so Paul says, we have the victory in Jesus Christ over death, hell, and the grave. Therefore, verse 58, "My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much that you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, so much of what we do, folks, is just vanity. And it's not that there's anything wrong with it necessarily, but, you know, 50 years from now, 75, 100, who's going to know? That which we do for Christ's sake, that which we do for the ministry's sake, that's going to last. And so he says, He hath given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Then look down in chapter 16. In chapter 16, in verse 10, Paul says, "Now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I have greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time." Now notice the admonition of verse 13 and 14 as Paul is bringing to a conclusion this letter to the church at Corinth. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Now what I want to do this morning is I want to take each one of those admonitions individually and consider the impact that those things can have upon our life if we would be obedient to them. He says, first of all, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Watch ye. The terminology there is like a guard. It's similar to the idea of a sentry on duty as a soldier. And you know, it's interesting, in Paul's epistles, he uses the analogy of a soldier, of an athlete, of a farmer, as he talks about our service for the Lord. Hold on here and look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. In other words, what does he mean, watch ye? Well, the idea there is to always be on guard. And you know, there are many things we have to guard against. In 2 Timothy, chapter 2, in verse 3, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's writing to young Timothy there, and he says, to endure hardness. Verse 4, no man that warreth, there's the warfare, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, an athlete, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman, that would be the farmer, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself. The idea there is that the life of the saved individual is likened to that of a soldier in battle. You know that song, Onward Christian Soldiers, we sing, Victory in Jesus. The idea is that there is a warfare. As a matter of fact, Paul addresses that very specifically in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we need to watch ye, keep awake like a guard on duty, and always be on guard. You know, I believe that in the Christian life there are many enemies, but there are three primary enemies that we need to guard against, that we need to keep our eye on and keep focus on. First of all is the world in general. I tell you folks, when you just sit and listen at the news, you know, I have almost quit listening to the national news. I just, we'll watch the local news and then I'll just cut it something else. I tell you, if you watch the news continually, you're going to be really depressed. Because this world is a sewer. It's a cesspool. It's just the filth. You know, you can't even sit in a room many times and watch the news with people, young people and other people, without being embarrassed about the things that you hear even on the news. The world is not the friend of God. Our country is not a Christian nation. And, you know, the Bible, well, is clear that it's not going to get any better. Paul said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And so the devil has, he is the prince of the power of the air. This world in general, apart from the saints of God, are under his control and his authority. And our job is not to change.